Some of the 11 ballot measures facing California voters in November are fairly straightforward about what they would do, ending the death penalty, for example. Others can range between unclear and confusing to seeming deliberately deceptive. Sonoma State University Professor of Economics Mike Visser says aspects of Proposition 31 fall on the misleading end of that spectrum.
The first thing in the summary that you get from the Attorney General's office says that it establishes a 2-year state budget cycle, which seems like an appealing thing. But that's really not what the proposition is focused on if you get into the meat. It's pushing down revenues and control from the state legislature down to local governments. It gives them an opportunity to change how certain state policies and programs apply to them. That is likely to result in some pretty unpredictable behavior on the part of the local governments.
This is important, Visser adds, because the government services that would be affected are those that directly impact the lives of all kinds of people.
Gives the local governments an opportunity to change how certain state policies and programs apply to them. Services that are essentially mandated by the state and delivered through local governments. We're talking about education, health, public safety, and other social services that local governments have the opportunity to say, we're going to come up with a plan that's different than what we've had to do in the past, and we're going to do it our way.
Proposition 31 would make other changes too, most of them involving the state's budgeting process. One provision would require any new expenditures of $25 million or more to be funded by new revenues or offset by other spending cuts. Another would give the governor power to make unilateral budget cuts if a fiscal emergency is declared. None of those changes would have a direct fiscal effect on most California citizens, but reassigning $200 million in funds for social service programs each year certainly could. Visser says those who want to vote their pocketbook, as the cliche goes, don't have much to go on with Prop 31.
It depends if you're one of the recipients of some of these social services or education or something like that. It's not at all clear to me what kinds of policies may be changed. It could be that local education districts are going to be allowed to manage their own, for example, voucher programs. I really don't know what kinds of things fall under the purview of these local governments with Proposition 31. So it could be that there's some dramatic impacts, maybe not directly pocketbooks all the time, but certainly affect the lives of lots of people.
By comparison, Visser says Proposition 32 is fairly clear about what it sets out to do, at least once you get past the false equivalence about who would be affected by it.
Prop 32 prohibits unions and corporations from using payroll deductions for political contributions. Most corporations don't really get much of the money that they send to political candidates or committee leaders from payroll deductions, whereas unions get the vast majority of their revenues from payroll deductions. It's pretty clearly an attempt to make it harder for unions to engage in direct political activities.
Proposition 32 is being promoted as the Paycheck Protection Initiative. Similar measures were voted down in California in 2005 and in 1998. In this election, both Propositions 31 and 32 are backed by the state's Republican Party and opposed by Democrats. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.